Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me in a studio this morning is Ilan Ossendriver. He is the author, he's a photographer, he's the author of the book, Israel After the 7th of October. And I'm holding this book in my hand. It is absolutely staggering. I've in fact seen some of these photos because Ilan has displayed them at various events. Ilan Ossendriver, very good morning. Welcome to Chai FM.
Fantastic to be here. I've had the privilege now of being on your show, which is amazing.
Yeah, listen, it's not all it's cracked up to be, hey? I can tell you, Osmukundi. There's some days he thinks, what have I done to deserve it? But anyway, let's just talk about this journey, because a South African capturing the events of October 7th. How did this come about?
So first of all, I was born in South Africa, but I lived about 20 years in Israel as a photojournalist. I was went into self-exile after the apartheid era, when I used to speak out against it. Mm-hmm. Got a degree in journalism, came back to South Africa, sneaking to Soweto, take photos of life under apartheid, and decided, okay, wow, I need to actually up my game in photojournalism. There's only one place on earth, and being a Jew, and that was going to Israel. So I met Aliyah, and I spent 20 years as a photojournalist in Israel, covering everything from 1984. I was a private photographer through my agency of four prime ministers of Israel, covered seven Israeli prime ministers, three American presidents, Michael Jackson's private photographer, but I also covered some incredible stories, like I was a chief photographer for the Ethiopian Airlifts, Operation Moses, Operation Solomon.
I did not know this.
Yeah, and I've been around.
She's a dark horse, this guy.
Yeah, I'm a very quiet guy in the background.
I suppose you're behind the lens.
Yeah, behind the lens. Right. And I've been to Ethiopia twice to document the Ethiopians and Jews in the north. And I've done so many different various things. I was even with the late Rabin in Egypt when he met with Yasser Arafat for the first time in public, with Mubarak, and did countless things. And there's one thing about Israel, being a small country, you have, I think, the fourth largest press corps in the world. I think it's Washington, then comes London, then comes Russia, then probably Israel. Mm. And so there, because Israel's so small, you get to do all kinds of stories. You don't have to travel far. I mean, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem's about 70 kilometers. Mm. So your boss would send you there. Mm. And, and I covered so many things. I covered the Intifadas. I covered the Gulf War and everything. I thought, nothing can be worse than this. Then I was on the night of when Rabin was assassinated, I was at the square and I was taking photos, and my picture was supposed to be the crowd of the Jerusalem Post, and it wasn't in the end, because that night Rabin was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And I never imagined that there would be anything worse than that. I mean, Israel was at its brink.
I saw the hate there.
Mm-hmm. Until October 7th came, and it just threw the whole of Jewish world and anybody with ethics, it threw us such a curveball that in our day we'd see a modern day pogrom. And a week afterwards, my wife Corinne says to me, "What are you doing here still? Go." And I knew that I had to go and document.
So it was like a week later.
A couple of weeks later, because I was sitting, and it was frustrating for me. And I realized I needed to be in Israel, show support, but also at the same time document what I think was going to be a very important piece of work, because in the future people would have to read about it, see it, because nothing lasts forever in terms of imagery. So, for example, on the kibbutzim, I've been four times to Israel to document. A lot of the kibbutzim have now been cleaned up, but I was there in its rawity at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when I walked onto the kibbutz with a whole bunch of world press journalists. You walk through this calm kibbutz. This was Kibbutz Kfar Aza. Mm. Nobody there. The artillery was in the background every five seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at these journalists, and I've experienced this artillery before. And we walked through this beautiful kibbutz, and suddenly we turned the corner, and there's a landscape in my book of a double spread of the kibbutz on left and right, absolutely destroyed. And the first thing I saw was Zaka going through the little places, through the kibbutzim, and you know, looking for pieces of people.
So just for listeners who aren't aware, Zaka is an organization in Israel. It's very important in Jewish tradition and Jewish law to make sure that each part of the person, no matter how they have died, is collected and buried. So it's out of respect for that person, for that soul. So Zaka does the work of the horrific work of going through, whether it's an accident or a terror attack, no matter what it is, and finding, making sure that literally nothing is left behind.
Yeah. You could almost feel the smoke, and you could sense the smell of death. I mean, in my book, there's a Israeli soldier showing some of the weapons they captured, and one of them is this kind of like a grenade that explodes to 3,000 degrees in a second. And that's how so many of these, and you'll see in my book, how many of these rooms and houses were burnt and people incinerated within seconds. Mm. I mean, this is the kind of brutality they had. And so my book actually not only covers the kibbutzim, but I've divided it into certain sections because kind of like visual. And I started seeing patterns on walls, and I started doing close-ups of walls in these rooms, and eventually I got to see faces. And I've had many a sleepless night when I see the faces of burn marks. And the front cover is actually a burn mark of a human being, the shape of a human being. And this is like burn marks. And this was taken at Kibbutz Beri. And I was with one of the kibbutzniks who took me around. I was actually quite lucky to get on because...
Yeah, it's not easy to do that.
They weren't allowing anybody else, but somehow... They allowed me to come on, and I was walking with this person, and I was pointing out what I was seeing. Eventually he said, I have to leave you, I can't, because he had not been back with a while in that part of the kibbutz. I started seeing faces, and I've had a whole section of faces in walls, which goes into my mind every day.
Yeah.
And so I've captured that, and I've also captured the art.
Does the camera help you? Does the fact that you're standing, that there's a divider between you and the event, is that the way that a photojournalist, or in your case, you, can manage a situation that is objectively so terrifying and horrific?
So in many cases, it's almost true that you have this sense of a camera behind you, in front of you, in your eye. But this was so close to home that it didn't really work like that, because I felt there's such strong Jewishness in what they've done to us, that the camera, I was photographing, but it didn't prevent that humanity and that anger and that feeling of how these people had suffered for. They were sleeping in the morning, they were sleeping, and suddenly their whole life turned around. You know, I went down to Durban to give a talk at the South African Zionist Federation there, and I'm standing by the plane. There's an Indian guy and a white guy, and we were talking, and we were just talking about sport. And this white guy turns around and says to me, look, you guys did it, you Jews did it.
Did what?
We did this. It wasn't the Palestinians or the Hamas that did this, it was us. I said, what are you talking about? And I'm not going to use the words that he said, but he swore at me, and on the plane as I got off, he attacked me again, saying that we did it in front of everybody. So I had my little 9th of October on the plane.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Sitting quietly, talking, and suddenly I'm attacked. And this is what we face with. That's why I thought this book was really important to do, because we know we have to get it out there, because there's such a lot of denialists. And you hear it every day, people denying things, denying the Holocaust, denying us as Jews. So I felt this book was very important to do. But there's also an incredible part of the book that you'll see is that I went to cover all the artwork of what people were doing. And this is one thing about Israel, which is incredible, is how incredibly talented in how we perceive things. You know, during the apartheid era, we had artists doing, you know, anti-apartheid things, fight the ANC, whatever it is. And here they were just saying, bring us home. And you'll see in my book, I have a whole section of artwork that bring them home in different artworks. And I've got street artists' work really capturing the stress and the sadness and the crying of Israel.
Incredible.
Through art. And that's what I wanted to capture, because these artworks, as you know, street art doesn't last for long until the next thing comes in.
Right. But it's an expression of emotion, and then when that evolves, so does street art. So it and that's what you've captured in this book. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book.
Just really even on one of my favorite pictures, actually, is a very simple one. It's on Tel Aviv Beach, where the Israelis on the Tel Aviv Beach have this huge flag, and they're all sitting underneath with a yellow ribbon.
Incredible.
And I found that very interesting. And also the one flag of a guy on a motorbike with the Israeli and the American flag. And it just showed who our connections are.
Absolutely incredible. We do need to go to ads. That's where we need to leave it. Ilan Ossendriver, where can we buy the book?
Kollel Bookstore.
Okay, great.
And you can speak to me. I have quite a few copies at home left. And
great.
They're selling out, actually, thank God.
That is very good news. Really, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah. But easiest is Kollel Bookshop, and you can pop over to them, and you can get your copy. It is a gorgeous book, and well done for doing this. It's got to have been an incredibly difficult exercise, but the result is certainly something magnificent.